have a plan.
Great. Rahm Emanuel, you have the floor.
The villagers of Mayapur, India speak of five stones that were given to Sankara by the Hindu god Shiva. Legend claims that he who holds the five stones will rule the world. I have four of those stones.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
'That calls on me. I hear a tongue shriller than all the music. Christ, Caesar. Speak. Caesar's turn to hear.
Beware the Ides of March.
Beware the Ides of March. This famous line comes from William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, Act 1, Scene 2. The soothsayer is predicting the infamous murder of Julius Caesar at the hands of the Senate and his friends. According to the writers, Caesar sustained 23 stab wounds. 23 times he was stabbed by conspirators. But supposedly only one wound was mortal, the second which pierced his chest. Famously, Caesar's last words addressed Brutus. "Et tu, Brute? And you, Brutus?" he exclaimed, though according to some, he actually said in Greek, "And you, my child?" Though Caesar should not have been surprised. As great a general as he was, he had adopted some very dangerous practices and attitudes. His habit of wearing a laurel wreath, possibly to hide his increasing baldness, looked suspiciously like a crown. And the special chair he had commissioned for himself as leader of the Senate was dangerously close to being a throne. If there was one thing that affronted the Roman psyche, it was kings. They had thrown out the last king of Rome many hundreds of years prior, and Brutus's family had played a key role in forming the Republic. Of course Brutus was involved in the conspiracy. But there's one thing that used to bother me as a child. What on earth is an ide? I'd like to know, I thought. It all has to do with the Roman calendar. We've discussed the Roman names of the months in a previous video, but each month originally was based on the lunar cycle. Each month, in a predictable cycle, the amount of sunlight reaching the moon shifts, beginning with a new moon, through to the full moon, and eventually to the waning crescent. And the cycle repeats. It was this which gave the month its length. The first day of the month, the new moon, was called the Calends. This is actually where we get the word calendar from, a procession of first days. The next key date of the month was the nones. This is actually linked with the Latin word novem, number 9, because this was 9 days until the next key date. Usually the nones fell on the 5th or 7th day of the month. And so it is, 9 days later, we come to the Ides. This was traditionally the night of the full moon, and in March, May, July and October, months with 31 days in them, the Ides came on the 15th. For the other months, it was the 13th. And so every month of the Roman calendar hung on these three key dates, the Calends, the Nones, and the Ides. And so when the soothsayer cries out in Shakespeare's play, "Beware the Ides of March," he's actually saying, "Beware the day of the full moon." Of course, this is just a moment in a play, and Caesar did continue on his way with tragic consequences.
"I'm sorry, sir, but for the good of Rome, you must die."
"But you're my personal bodyguard and champion gladiator. I don't want to die. I may not be a very good live emperor, but I'd be a worse one dead. Treachery! Infamy! Infamy! They've all got it in for me."
Now, classic comedy to one side. This is the serious reason why Caesar's adopted son Augustus never took the title king or emperor. It was a mantle that meant death. And while Augustus undoubtedly wielded power, he did so merely as the first citizen of the Republic. So there you have it, the Ides of March. Whatever you get up to today, it's probably best not to tempt fate and declare yourself a king.
How's it going, Royal Ugly Dudes?
Put them in the iron meat.
Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus.
Cowards die many times before their death. The valiant never taste of death but once.
This week in history, serious history.
For me!
In the year 44 BC, Roman leader Julius Caesar was assassinated on the Ides of March.
It too brutally.
As brought to life in this 1953 film starring Marlon Brando.
Very well.
Veni, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. But shortly after declaring himself dictator for life, the Senate turned against Caesar and murdered him. This week in 1990, Mikhail Gorbachev was elected the first ever president of the Soviet Union. Gorbachev tried to inject a little democracy and some free market reforms into his country's communist system, earning him a Nobel Peace Prize. His glasnost and perestroika contributed to the dissolution of the massive USSR. This week in 1964, Jack Ruby was convicted and sentenced to death for this caught-on-camera murder of Lee Harvey Oswald, who had been charged with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Ruby's conviction had been appealed and overturned, and his retrial was pending when he died. So technically, he was unconvicted at the time of his death.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump.
And this week in political theater, the year 2000, The Simpsons episode Bart to the Future featured Lisa Simpson as the president, talking about her predecessor, none other than Donald J. Trump.
Three R's: reading, writing, and refilling the ocean.
Beware the Ides of March.
Ever since Julius Caesar was murdered on March 15th, superstition has surrounded the Ides of March. Although March is a big month for presidential primaries, it's rare for states to hold contests on March 15th. This year, however, five states will vote that day, making for an Ides of March inundation. But candidates should be wary. Mid-March has long been a woeful time for politicians. On March 15, 44 BC, shortly after being named dictator for life, Julius Caesar was murdered at the Theater of Pompey by conspiring senators. On March 15, 1917, Russian Tsar Nicholas II renounced the throne. He and his family were eventually executed. President Richard Nixon reasserted his claims of executive privilege on March 15, 1973, welcoming a Supreme Court challenge to his position during the Watergate investigation. A year later, the court ruled unanimously against Nixon, and soon after, he resigned.
I have never been a quitter.
Bob Dole has had several run-ins with the Ides of March. He dropped out of the 1980 presidential race on March 15.
Dole for president.
And 8 years later lost the Illinois primary, the only primary that's been held on March 15th in the last three decades. On March 15th, 2012, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich reported to federal prison after being sentenced to 14 years for attempting to sell President Obama's Senate seat and other acts of corruption. And the list doesn't end there. Several other politicians, including John Edwards and Elliot Spitzer, have battled political scandals, gaffes, and defeats during mid-March.
This is what is meant by big business. This is what is meant by their control of American economy. Big business is international. Through colonial rule or subservient governments, they control raw materials and markets in most of the world. This is the big league in world business. Its name is imperialism. It leads to war.
On March the 2nd, 1965, as an extension of the war in the South, the United States began a daily, systematic bombing of North Vietnam.
Conquest!
Vietnam has been in war for 20 years. This is very difficult for any society to stand this. And it's a country which has got a good many problems. It's divided. There's a guerrilla activity, murder, and all the rest. Compounding this, however, now is a religious dispute. I would hope this would be settled because we want to see a stable government there carrying on a struggle to maintain its national independence. We believe strongly in that. We're not going to withdraw from that effort. In my opinion, for us to withdraw from that effort would mean a collapse not only of South Vietnam, but Southeast Asia. So we're going to stay there.
Hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Our course is clearly known in every land. There can be no mistake, no miscalculation of where America stands or what this generation of Americans stands for. The unanimity of the Congress reflects the unanimity of the country. We are the most powerful of all nations. We must strive also to be the most responsible.
Time has come for America to hear the truth about this tragic war. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. There comes a time when silence is betrayal.
Anyone dumb enough to want to be in the military should be allowed in.
Conquest!
should we be doing more to make the war in Iraq more eco-friendly?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, each country that's engaged in a war is sending in their own separate troop transports. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why we're not simply carpooling.
Well, you know, the DOD has been testing an experimental new balsa wood, a Black Hawk, which just burns up if it's shot down. No waste at all.
And also would use a lot less fuel anyway because it's a much lighter aircraft.
And they're fun to build.
There is talk now of perhaps getting the government to switch to using testicular squeezing instead of the actual electrical testicular torture.
There's absolutely no reason that torture should be wasteful. I mean, let's look at the Vietnamese and what they were able to accomplish with some simple bamboo shoots under the fingernails.
Good point. Renewable resource.
I disagree. If you want to have a successful war, you need to have successful torture techniques, and you're going to need technology for that. Now, I would be behind a clean coal-powered testicle electrocution if that would be possible.
Or, Leslie, a wind power generator that has the same shock to the testes.
We can go further. You know, the hoods of the prisoners should be made of organic hemp.
Now, many environmentalists have recommended that we start looking to third world nations as a model for more eco-friendly strategies.
That's great.
The Sudanese have, as you know, a long and bloody history of taking care of their environment.
Absolutely.
And there's a Sudanese saying that goes, "Wreak havoc upon your fellow man, but love and protect Mother Earth."
There's also North Korea. They have one of the largest armies in the world, but yet they save a lot in consumption because they simply don't feed them.
Elegant in its simplicity.
There's no reason that you have to be emitting a bunch of toxins into the air to destroy a village. You
Very
simply go
point.
In there by foot, hack every living thing, child, woman, man, with a machete. That's zero emissions right there, and that's a step in the right direction.
My fellow Americans, today our armed forces joined our NATO allies in airstrikes against Serbian forces responsible for the brutality in Kosovo. We have acted with resolve for several reasons. We act to protect thousands of innocent people in Kosovo from a mounting military offensive. We act to prevent a wider war, to defuse a powder keg at the heart of Europe that has exploded twice before in this century with catastrophic results. And we act to stand united with our allies for peace. By acting now, we are upholding our values, protecting our interests, and advancing the cause of peace. Tonight, I want to speak with you about the tragedy in Kosovo and why it matters to America that we work with our allies to end it. First, let me explain what it is we are responding to. Kosovo is a province of Serbia in the middle of southeastern Europe, about 160 miles east of Italy. That's less than the distance between Washington and New York, and only about 70 miles north of Greece. Its people are mostly ethnic Albanian and mostly Muslim. In 1989, Serbia's leader, Slobodan Milosevic, the same leader who started the wars in Bosnia and Croatia and moved against Slovenia in the last decade, stripped Kosovo of the constitutional autonomy its people enjoyed, thus denying them their right to speak their language, run their schools, shape their daily lives. For years, Kosovars struggled peacefully to get their rights back. When President Milosevic sent his troops and police to crush them, the struggle grew violent. Last fall, our diplomacy, backed by the threat of force from our NATO alliance, stopped the fighting for a while and rescued tens of thousands of people from freezing and starvation in the hills where they had fled to save their lives. And last month, with our allies and Russia, we proposed a peace agreement to end the fighting for good. The Kosovar leaders signed that agreement last week. Even though it does not give them all they want, even though their people were still being savaged, they saw that a just peace is better than a long and unwinnable war. The Serbian leaders, on the other hand, refused even to discuss key elements of the peace agreement. As the Kosovars were saying yes to peace, Serbia stationed 40,000 troops in and around Kosovo in preparation for a major offensive and in clear violation of the commitments they had made. Now they've started moving from village to village, shelling civilians and torching their houses. We've seen innocent people taken from their homes, forced to kneel in the dirt and sprayed with bullets. Kosovar men dragged from their families, fathers and sons together, lined up and shot in cold blood. This is not war in the traditional sense. It is an attack by tanks and artillery on a largely defenseless people whose leaders already have agreed to peace. Ending this tragedy is a moral imperative. It is also important to America's national interest. Take a look at this map. Kosovo is a small place, but it sits on a major fault line between Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, at the meeting place of Islam and both the Western and Orthodox branches of Christianity.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these pendant keychains. To resist it is useless. It is useless to resist it. His cigarette is burning, but he never seems to ash. He is grooming his poodle. He is living comfort eagle. You can meet at his location, but you'd better come with cash. Now his hat is on backwards. He can show you his tattoos. He is in the music business. He is calling you dude. Now today is tomorrow, and tomorrow today. And yesterday is weaving in and out. And the fluffy white lines that the airplane leaves behind are drifting right in front of the waning of the moon. He is handling the money. He's serving the food. He knows about your party. He is calling you dude.
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger. On my orders, coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance to undermine Saddam Hussein's ability to wage war. These are opening stages of what will be a broad and concerted campaign. More than 35 countries are giving crucial support, from the use of naval and air bases, to help with intelligence and logistics, to the deployment of combat units. Every nation in this coalition has chosen to bear the duty and share the honor of serving in our common defense. To all the men and women of the United States Armed Forces now in the Middle East, the peace of a troubled world and the hopes of an oppressed people now depend on you. That trust is well placed. The enemies you confront will come to know your skill and bravery. The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military. In this conflict, America faces an enemy who has no regard for conventions of war or rules of morality. Saddam Hussein has placed Iraqi troops and equipment in civilian areas, attempting to use innocent men, women, and children as shields for his own military, a final atrocity against his people. I want Americans and all the world to know that coalition forces will make every effort to spare innocent civilians from harm. A campaign on the harsh terrain of a nation as large as California could be longer and more difficult than some predict. And helping Iraqis achieve a united, stable, and free country will require our sustained commitment. We come to Iraq with respect for its citizens, for their great civilization, and for the religious faiths they practice. We have no ambition in Iraq except to remove a threat and restore control of that country to its own people. I know that the families of our military are praying that all those who serve will return safely and soon. Millions of Americans are praying with you for the safety of your loved ones and for the protection of the innocent. For your sacrifice, you have the gratitude and respect of the American people. And you can know that our forces will be coming home as soon as their work is done. Our nation enters this conflict reluctantly, yet our purpose is sure. The people of the United States and our friends and allies will not live at the mercy of an outlaw regime that threatens the peace with weapons of mass murder. We will meet that threat now with our Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marines, so that we do not have to meet it later with armies of firefighters and police and doctors on the streets of our cities. Now that conflict has come, the only way to limit its duration is to apply decisive force. And I assure you, this will not be a campaign of half measures, and we will accept no outcome but victory. My fellow citizens, the dangers to our country and the world will be overcome.
Yeah, do you believe in the one big sign? The double white shine on the blue heels of your prime. Doesn't matter if you're skinny, doesn't matter if you're fat. You can dress up like the Sultan in your onion head hat. We are building a religion, we're making a brand. We're the only ones to turn to when your council's turn to sand. Take a bite of this apple, Mr. Corporate Events. Take a walk through the jungle of cardboard shanties and tents. Some people drink Pepsi, some people drink Coke. The wacky morning DJ says democracy's a joke. He says, now do you believe in the one big song? He's now accepting callers who would like to sing along. He says, in the one true edge, by fastening your safety belts and stepping towards the ledge. He is handling the money, he is serving the food. He is now accepting callers, he is calling me dude. Do you believe in the one big sign? The double wide shine on the boot heels of your prime. There's no need to ask directions if you ever lose your mind. We're behind you, we're behind you. And let us please remind you, we can send a car to find you if you ever lose your way.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today, I authorize the Armed Forces of the United States to begin a limited military action in Libya in support of an international effort to protect Libyan civilians. That action has now begun. In this effort, the United States is acting with a broad coalition that is committed to enforcing United Nations Security Council Resolution 1973, which calls for the protection of the Libyan people. That coalition met in Paris today to send a unified message, and it brings together many of our European and Arab partners. This is not an outcome that the United States or any of our partners sought. Even yesterday, the international community offered Muammar Gaddafi the opportunity to pursue an immediate ceasefire, one that stopped the violence against civilians and the advances of Gaddafi's forces. But despite the hollow words of his government, he has ignored that opportunity. His attacks on his own people have continued. His forces have been on the move. And the danger faced by the people of Libya has grown. I am deeply aware of the risks of any military action, no matter what limits we place on it. I want the American people to know that the use of force is not our first choice, and it's not a choice that I make lightly. But we cannot stand idly by when a tyrant tells his people that there will be no mercy, and his forces step up their assaults on cities like Benghazi and Misrata, where innocent men and women face brutality and death at the hands of their own government. So we must be clear. Actions have consequences, and the writ of the international community must be enforced. That is the cause of this coalition. As a part of this effort, the United States will contribute our unique capabilities at the front end of the mission to protect Libyan civilians and enable the enforcement of a no-fly zone that will be led by our international partners. And as I said yesterday, we will not, I repeat, we will not deploy any U.S. troops on the ground. As Commander-in-Chief, I have great confidence in the men and women of our military who will carry out this mission. They carry with them the respect of a grateful nation. I'm also proud that we are acting as part of a coalition that includes close allies and partners who are prepared to meet their responsibility to protect the people of Libya and uphold the mandate of the international community. I've acted after consulting with my national security team and Republican and Democratic leaders of Congress. And in the coming hours and days, my administration will keep the American people fully informed. But make no mistake, today we are part of a broad coalition. We are answering the calls of a threatened people, and we are acting in the interests of the United States and the world.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are building a religion. A limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these beautiful
you think that religion should be taught in schools?
If it's voluntary, yes. If it's mandatory, no.
Does you think there's a way for people to make the way them teach religion more interesting?
Yes. The movie, The Passion of the Christ, is a very effective teaching tool, I think.
I heard they ain't as good as Lethal Weapon 3.
No, I think it's slightly better than Lethal Weapon 3.
Ain't it basically a bit of a rip-off of Gladiator?
No, it's not at all.
But it's like that kind of thing, isn't it?
No, it's about the death and crucifixion of Christ.
Ain't you scared, though, that because it's made so much cash, it will just make a sequel and it won't be as good, like, you know, have the blob come back to life, whatever? What else is the election going to be fought on this year?
It'll probably be about Iraq.
Does you think that Saddam's ever was able to make these weapons of mass destruction, or whatever, or as they is called, BLTs?
Was Saddam able to make them?
Could he make BLTs?
Yes. At one time, he was using BLTs on the Kurds in the north.
Was it worth fighting a war over BLTs?
I don't think Saddam Hussein and Iraq were a threat to the United States, even if they had WMDs or BLTs, as long as they weren't nuclear weapons.
If you had the evidence that Saddam had these BLTs in his house, would you have said yes, attack?
Not unless if he had anthrax, if he had mustard gas.
Whatever he put in them.
No. If he had mustard gas, no.
Let's say he didn't have mustard and the BLTs just was plain. Would you been able to go in there then?
No.
Is it ever worth fighting a war over sandwiches?
Explosions in Belgium have been reported, two in Zaventem Airport and a third at a metro station close to the EU buildings in Brussels. Footage shows people running away from the departures as smoke can clearly be seen rising from the airport building. Some Belgian media have reported that the airport explosions were caused by a suicide attack, and there are reports of gunfire heard at the airport before the blast. The aftermath of the explosion has been captured and shared online. The Belgian Fire Service told local media there were multiple fatalities and casualties, and figures are expected to rise. Flights have been cancelled at the airport, which has been evacuated. Images of smoke coming from a Brussels metro station have also been circulating on social media. The metro system in Brussels has been closed as the city goes into lockdown, and the terror threat in Belgium has been raised to maximum level 4 across the country following the blasts.
This was the scene inside a Brussels metro tunnel after an explosion rocked nearby Malbeek station. The footage shared online shows a train being evacuated between Malbeek and Arlawa stations and passengers walking through the darkness to safety. One of the passengers described feeling a blast of air before the train stopped in the tunnel. The driver told passengers there was an incident on the line. More footage from outside the station shows the injured being treated on the street as smoke rises from below. The Brussels metro network has been completely shut down until further notice. Amateur footage broadcast on Belgian television purports to show the moment police shoot and detain a man suspected of involvement in a foiled terror attack in France. The footage, said to be from the Schaerbeek borough of Brussels, shows the suspect lying beside the tram tracks, clutching a bag, as a bomb disposal robot approaches. In a statement, Belgian prosecutors said they had detained three people in the city on Friday in relation to the French terror plot. They said two of the three, including the man believed to be seen in this footage, were shot in the leg. Meanwhile in Paris, police ended an overnight raid on an apartment building, which began following the arrest of a French national suspected of belonging to the militant network planning the attack in France. The operations took place as investigations continue into the bombings at Brussels airport and the attack on the city's metro system on Tuesday.
Check it out.
I got the word Ides of March from the Holy Spirit, and I want to share this with you. I just looked at the news. I honestly don't often look at the news. It says, updates, Trump Ohio attacker Tommy DeMassimo featured in ISIS propaganda videos, 2015, Bernie Sanders supporter. Now, the Ides of March was about an assassination that took place and civil war resulted, which brought in a dictatorship. And I was telling you, I have no idea what the Holy Spirit knows that I don't know, but I do find this interesting that this happened today. It was an attempted attack, and remember I told you 13, 16, and the 16 is an 88, which stands for ISIS. And we have an ISIS attempted hitman who, you know, this is all staged. I mean, it's all staged. That's just my opinion at this late point. I just hardly ever give any benefit of the doubt that something just really happened and it wasn't created news. We'll be right back.
all the time about how all these events coming out of the news media seem very scripted and manufactured and fake. I don't think some people get, when we say fake, how fake we mean. We're not just talking about scripted or even pre-planned manufactured events. We're talking about fake. Somebody just sent this to us on Facebook, which I guess is super appropriate, called Face-to-Face, Real-Time Face Capture and Reenactment of RGB Videos. You just have to see this for yourself.
We present a novel real-time facial reenactment method that works with any commodity webcam. Since our method only uses RGB data for both the source and target actor, we are able to manipulate YouTube videos in real time. Here, we demonstrate our method in a live setup. On the right, a source actor is captured with a standard webcam. This input drives the animation of the face in the video shown on the monitor to the left.
Using face capture software, they're able to control basically a virtual puppet of anyone, complete with facial expressions, and make that person look like they are saying anything they want to, and it looks real.
And think about the difference here, where you're seeing a U.S. leader, and then in a moment when they show a foreign leader, and think about how different the implication is of showing a foreign leader who's a potential enemy looking silly versus our own U.S. leaders. And then think about how much the words and the buzz terms someone uses matter compared to body language. I mean, it's been estimated by scientists that 80-90% of what we perceive and what we think of another person, whether or not we trust them, whether or not we believe the words they're saying, depends upon body language and whether or not they seem like a trustworthy person. We've really learned to interpret what someone is saying based on the way they're expressing themselves. So look how much you can distort the message by hijacking someone's face. It's really uncanny and eerie.
And there are some people out there watching this right now going, you know, if it was me and I saw that on TV, I would know. But here's the thing about that. This is what they're releasing to the public. This is coming out of several colleges, and they put this together and they're showing what they can do. And as we know, that means that whatever the government has, whatever the establishment has, they've had it for a lot longer. And it's probably much more advanced. Now put that together with a couple of other things, like this footage. Take a look at this. What do you think's going on here? Do you think this is real or fake?
The scale of this drill gives teams an opportunity to practice skills and functions they rarely get to use.
Actually, this is a drill. This is a drill they just got done doing in the UK. It was one of the largest disaster drills, if not the largest, the country has ever done. And if they played this to you on the television news and you just saw it and they said, disaster has struck in the UK, and you saw this footage, would you think it was real?
See, without a doubt, how the people are recycling back into the building. See the line of people? All right, we're coming up to the front. Look how they're coming back in. They're taking that turn. Watch them take the turn. Up! And they're coming right back into the building.
As we can see, before the helicopter video pans out, the people are just filing right back into the firehouse. Songs were attributed to the edited versions of the videos to clearly show how ludicrous it all is. And yes, the video is played forward and backward right before it pans out to show clearly where the people are headed. But this tape, quite clearly, is not looped. When we focus on individual people in the video, we see the same anomalous behavior.
And we've also reported on this, a story that we wrote called Project Bluebeam, Yes, the Government Research Projecting Holograms of God is a Mass PSYOP. Since the 90s at Los Alamos, they could take a 10-minute digital clip of anyone's voice, and in near real time, the patterns could be cloned to create a convincing, total and complete soundboard of that person. So it's a fake that can make a person sound like a person says anything they want. And if you heard that, you would think it was really that person really saying that. They've been able to do that since the 90s. And now they're showing us that they have this, where in real time, they can make anyone look like they're saying anything. If you put those two technologies together, you can't ever trust anything's real.
We've been living in a kind of consumer information matrix for a while. They really have distorted and manipulated reality. We know that things are framed on TV, but now with this technology, there's no way to know if you're seeing something that's real at all. And I guess they're going to try to give society schizophrenia, trying to figure out when they're in the real world or not.
Seeing rage and violence directed at American embassies over an awful internet video that we had nothing to do with.
I mean, you gotta see some of the comments. In fact, this was my first comment right here. Actually, that's exactly what I said in real life when I first watched this. Look at this person. This is too far. Very scary potential for misuse. Do not pursue this for the good of humanity. Because as we know, the military-industrial complex always stops pursuing things for the good of humanity. They never do anything that isn't for the good of humanity. And then this person says, potential for misuse. I can't think of a reason you'd want this technology in the first place besides abusing it. And then some guy's like, what about lip sync for dubbed movies? Yes, because that's the reason they're doing it. Lip sync for dubbed movies. Wake up! Okay? My God.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want? We'll be right back.
Now, go find the others.com.
This war is not going to end by any one single battle or combination of battles. It could be a situation that could drag out for some time. I don't anticipate that this conflict will end anytime soon. And we could find that we have more difficult days ahead.